Welcome to the Awaken Therapist podcast, where we explore a holistic and transpersonal approach to therapy. In season three, you'll hear live demos, expert teachings, and dynamic interviews to inspire you to awaken transformation in yourself, your clients, and the world. I'm your host, Harmony Quiker. As a psychotherapist, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, I created this podcast to empower you to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. To learn about our trainings, community, and resources, check us out at awakentherapist.com. In this episode, we enter into the sacred and transformative territory of working with ancestral trauma, approaching it not as a story from the past, but as a living process unfolding in the here and now. Earlier that morning, before meeting with this volunteer, I sensed his guides coming forward, letting me know that they were here to support him in processing deep patterns of trauma. I share this with you to normalize the intuitive experience that can arise in transpersonal work. While I didn't tell him this in the session, I did feel the way that he was being held and supported in his healing journey. My guest began by sharing pieces of his life, and rather than engaging only with the narrative, I attuned to his body, his energy, and the essence beneath his words, inviting him to sense into his lived experience. Together, we tracked the subtle textures that surfaced, the tremor of fear in the unknown, the tender question, am I enough, the inherited drive to push through, and the longing to reclaim his personal power. This is the heart of the present moment approach of transpersonal counseling, following what arises in real time and allowing sensation, breath, and energy to reveal what the mind may not yet name. From this place, we entered a dynamic, in-the-moment experiment that illuminated not only his personal history, but also the intergenerational threads still woven in his experience. This experience carried a quality of psychosynthesis, emphasizing the potential for self-realization and the integration of different dimensions of the self, both conscious and unconscious, personal and transpersonal. Ancestral healing in this way is not about repairing something back then. It's about meeting what's alive in the body, the psyche, and the soul right now. And in doing so, offering transformation not only for ourselves, but also the lineage that we carry. The full unedited version of this episode is available on Patreon for those who wish to witness the work in its entirety.
Been a lot moving for me, and if I were to try and approach it with my mind, I think I would get distracted from the deeper threads.
And what do you notice in your body as you share that with me?
I notice like a sense of feeling three fingers below my navel. It's a little bit more on my right side. There's a sense of gravity. There's also something around chest, heart chakra, sternum. Some tension in my jaw and temples as I bring awareness to it, and some touch to it.
Just want to invite you to just keep bringing in more awareness to the sensations.
Yeah.
Not necessarily trying to change it or fix it, just noticing the wisdom of your body in this moment. Yeah, so deep listening.
I noticed that as you say deep listening, that my body, my system relaxes a little bit. Like, I think you can keep up. Two of my last three therapists have told me that they have sort of come to the end of their capacity to work with me. It's been difficult to find therapists that can meet the level of depth that I do with my clients, much less like the level of depth that I desire to do in my own work. So, yeah, deep listening feels like relief and reassurance.
Yeah, just want to make room for that relief, and that reassurance in your body, just noticing that sensation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you seem more seated in yourself right now. What do you notice about yourself?
Yeah, that feels accurate. I notice that as I bring attention to that, to the feeling seated, that I feel my central channel connecting with the core of the planet, my place in the planet and in the cosmos. And I've been in a really deep retreat for most of the last week. 25 of us, mostly in a teepee for most of the week, and like no phones, no Wi-Fi. It's been like beautiful and expansive, and also like really huge in some ways and really subtle in others, and been a lot. It's nice to have a little bit of like break from just running that much energy, and also sadness and longing for like the depth of connection of feeling that group field.
You notice in your heart right now?
Pulsing,
Mm-hmm.
tenderness, like an eagerness. Today's the day I told my clients I'd be back, so it's like getting, requests and scheduling sessions and feeling really purposeful in what I'm doing. And there's this like itching of like I want to take on more in that. So
I want to take on more.
I noticed both sort of sides of this experience. One that's like my like integration time from that retreat, the time before like things really pick up. Like I got to pick up my partner from the airport from being sort of stranded in Africa right after we finished. And then the next 2 weeks feel really busy with clients, and then I'm leaving the country and gone for like 6 weeks. And the part of me that like wants more rest and integration and ease, and the other part that feels like driven and kind of hungry for the next level, that feels like it wants to come through my work, that I was able to get more clarity in my own work.
It's okay with you. I just want to reflect what I think I'm learning about you.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I really still have attention on this deep anchor to your place in the cosmos.
Yeah.
And yeah, and the integration of being in community and feeling met deeply. And you've also mentioned times in therapy where you haven't felt met deeply. And then this like sort of like churning of energy for getting ready for what's to come, but also still needing more rest and integration.
Yep, that's all true. And also, to name some of the more sort of personal layers that are coming up here, and like receiving my partner at the airport, and the uncertainty in our in some ways that we orient towards our connection. She's coming back from a ceremony. It was her initiation into Iboga, and two partnerships I've had within like a day of us seeing each other after Iboga. We saw each other one more time after I went through Iboga. So there's some fear about where she's at with our relationship after. And the harder thing for me to acknowledge is like the fear that I might not feel as invested as I have. And these were really open conversations that we had a few weeks ago, before we both left for our travels. And we're in an open relationship, which has been both of our desires from the very beginning. And basically, I want to have kids, and she wants to help raise kids, but not birth them herself. And I feel primarily emotionally saturated with her, which has been great. Like the last few weeks before we both left town, we're spending most every day, most every evening, like most every night together, and like feeling really close and in sync and like great in many ways. And also the part of me that was like, I don't know if it's ever going to be the same. after this. You know, the part of me that like wanted to see her, and the other part that was like, oh, it'd be nice to have like a couple weeks to myself here at home before I see her. Like, I've been sometimes easy for me to get so sort of wrapped up in a relationship that I can lose my own center a bit. And I know that she's not the same version of herself that left. I'm not the same version of myself that left. And yeah, underneath a lot is a fear of disappointing her, a wanting to hold her with a lot of tenderness as she's coming back from both a very intense medicine initiation as well as some very intense physical illness that she got in Africa.
Yeah, and what do you notice about yourself as you share this with me?
Oh, tension between my heart, my solar plexus, sadness.
Just with your eyes closed, just keep bringing attention to that place in your solar plexus, just wrapping it with awareness. Yeah, I hear a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, desire to hold her with care when she comes back, fear that you won't be able to.
And I couldn't hold her while she was in ceremony. I was with family. I was doing some really deep grief work with my parents, which was needed and beautiful. And I was responsive, but wasn't as empathetic as she hoped. And yeah, felt like she didn't name her desire in the moment and like waited until it had passed and it was like, oh, you missed this thing. I wish this were different. And yeah, there's a pattern I recognize in my own self here where this sort of imbalance can, yeah, lead to me not giving care to myself. The enduring pattern, sort of like, I'll get through anything. I see this, the way I treat myself, it's coming out in some of the ways that I treat people closest to me. And a sense of like, you're in a ceremony where you have to be ready to meet your own death. And I recognize that sort of distance I created with her in that.
I see.
Or like, I wasn't as compassionate as I think I would have been. I asked, how's life and death? It's like sort of joking, but this very particular thing I know about working with that medicine. And yeah, she didn't tell me that she wasn't feeling well until after she had been to the hospital.
Oh. What are you noticing in your heart in this moment?
Some withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it feels young. Oh, it's the same pattern of like, it's this thing that I sort of resent in her. That's the part of her that's so independent and so self-sufficient. And the part of me that's like, yeah, orients the same way.
I think I'm starting to see a polarity between am I enough for the unknowns and I gotta push through. What do you notice when I say that?
Yeah, I like that. Hearing that, I feel happy. I notice myself smiling. It feels like the thing that I'm working with, which is stepping more into the level of soul that like trusts everything, knows that this is perfect, and wanting to bring in more of the energy of sort of the life impulse behind all of it. To have the discernment of like, what's the impulse of life that wants to come through me, and what's my own like emotional erratic impulses. When am I like following spirit and when am I following like bullshit emotional patterns?
Yeah, what do you notice when you say that?
Feels like some like puzzle pieces are coming together in my own awareness. Yeah, the duality of the non-duality. I want to be able to hold the separate self well, and to be able to like inhabit my body fully and to be able to act through my personality in a way that moves through the 3D world and through society, but to have this my seat more in my soul of like just trusting everything. And for there to be times where like whatever identified individual self can just like step to the side when there's something deeper than anything that resembles an individual self can hold, that like that can come through me.
Taking a few breaths there, just feeling the resonance of your words and your awareness.
Yeah, missing having a group field of people that are so that are like are oriented the same way, and just that sense of safety of having the reflection of other people that can meet me there. And my partner usually can, and I imagine she's in a really tender place, like the sense of not knowing exactly my place with her. And the part of me that was like, I'm not supposed to rescue her from this. Like, she's on a pilgrimage, she's in an initiation, and my rescuer capacity is too high together. Like, I know it's not mine to fix this kind of stuff for her, and my historical rescuer savior complex has been strong and like a thing for me to work with.
I think I'm hearing this other movement. It felt similar to the ceremony piece of like, can I trust her sovereignty and stay in contact?
Like yes to trusting sovereignty. And also what's been so beautiful about this last week was having a group of people that are so like rooted in themselves that they that like their own sovereignty wasn't in question. But there was a sense of like to make it there, everybody had to trust themselves deeply enough that like the whole group could trust that everybody there had their own sovereignty. And like when that's in place, that there's an opportunity with the group field for the sort of greater energies that like when we can step beyond the personal, that there's a synergy that can happen that's only really accessible when everybody's like got themselves in the 3D world and their connection to their soul enough to not have to fucking track anybody else in the group. Like all of us are facilitators. Like all of us are used to tracking our clients and the whole group, and like to just be able to trust that like if something comes up, we can deal with it emergently, and there's no, it's like not
It's
having to track everybody else, but also sort of like trusting that the group would be able to track what's happening. Yeah, it's just such a relief to feel like to feel that held, and not by any one person, but by the group field. Like that's what I feel like I'm here for, is to be able to work with groups at that level. And that's the kind of community I want to be living in. And that's what I want to raise kids in, is a group that's that attuned, not self-sacrificing, not rescuing, but like really has themselves and also has the group that way.
Yeah, I see you moving your body. I'm starting to see a lot of things over here. What do you notice?
I noticed that there's something that feels like it's being freed up in my energy and in my physical body, and like a lot of yeah energy I can feel like tingling in my hands, and just feels like there's some integration of it. This last couple of weeks has been also just to name some of the stuff that has come up with my parents. Like basically I was born onto the land that's only a few hours from where this retreat was, and it's gorgeous, like mountains and glacier lakes, and like it's like I'm gonna go camp there and connect with the land for a few days before I go to this retreat. And my parents just retired, and long story short, I invited my parents to join me. I was like, hey, I'm gonna be over there, like do you want to meet me there? And And they did. It was our first trip together since I retired, and it was really beautiful. And we did a grief ritual for my miscarried older brother, who was 3 years before me. Like, I received a number, like three or four family constellations about this particular piece, but like one I received about a year ago. Like, I like one of the biggest, this is my work. Like, I have received a lot of these, and this is one of the most potent pieces of work that I have received. And yeah, I like have more of a sense of how that impacted my family system and like what the system was that I incarnated into. I was basically I did a soul retrieval around this, and the one who was holding that representation in that session for me was like, yeah, this older brother of yours like wants roses to be like placed on the ground somewhere just to acknowledge him. And like, I was like, oh, it looks like there's trees around somewhere. I live in a forest. And I'm usually really good about doing that homework. And for some reason, it didn't feel like it flowed. And then I ended up talking to my parents about this. And my mom was like, oh, maybe we could do that together. And it was like mind blowing that like we could actually do that together. And we did. And it was really meaningful. And my mom came out like that night and was like, I feel like I can feel him as part of the family and I never had before. This is 42 years ago. Yeah, both of them have been like showing up differently since then. And yeah, in many ways, like so grateful to be able to like do this work, to have access to these kind of technologies, to do this like, and that my parents are like, this isn't their work in the same way, but they're up for it. And so grateful for that. Also some resentment and anger at why do I have to be the one to carry this? Like teaching the family how to grieve is the shit that parents should be teaching the kids, not the kids should be teaching the parents. And like back to a much more pervasive pattern of parentification and taking on energy for the family system that's like shouldn't be mine from my place in the family, but because I'm the one that has capacity, like that's where it's come from.
I'll share over here that like I find myself wanting to ask you if you want to try something, and then right after that I'm like, what is the thing? What do you notice when I say that?
The deep listening, following the mystery. Yeah, let's go.
And all of the narrative that you've shared with me so far, the thing that like has most of my attention, it still lives in the unknown. And what do you notice just when I say that?
In some ways, like everything meaningful lives in the unknown.
In this particular context, what I mean is your relationship to the unknown.
Ooh, yeah, let's go there.
And so, I'm actually just imagining a seat next to you, the seat of unknown. If you found this episode meaningful and want to hear the full conversation, you can access the entire episode by joining us on Patreon. Your support helps make this work possible and allows us to continue offering deep experiential content like this. As a member, you'll also get access to extended sessions, discounts on trainings, and behind-the-scenes discussions on the therapeutic process. To join the community and learn more about our trainings, visit us at awakentherapist.com or click the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening.